Mr. Preacher. Today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph. We're still a bit behind, and we're on Kuf Amud Beis. And we got up to the, we were talking about the Machlokas yesterday between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, about how it is you could be metaltel from the Yam into the Svina. It turns out there's two basic approaches of how to view the Yam as a carmelite. It's a carmelite because of the way we view its mafitza, so it's the bottom of the Yam, so in which case Mayim, of course, we already saw yesterday, is not Mamayit a mafitza, in which case the top of the Yam would be above 10 tefachim from the floor. There's no problem because I'm being metalto in a mokum tur, since a carmelite doesn't extend above 10 tefachim. Therefore, all we need to do is put out a ziz kosher. What's the purpose of a ziz kosher? An indication that we should recall that this is only mutter because of our sounding. That we know because of our sounding. So we know that it's above 10 tefachim from the floor of the ocean. Masha'in kein, if you hold it, you need a daf, which is an actual 4x4 piece to indicate a projection of Mechitzas Lamata, then clearly we hold that the carmelite, the point of the Yam being a carmelite, is we view it as its Mokum Shimush is a carmelite, and the top of the Yam is a carmelite. In which case I can't be Motzi from the carmelite to the Svina, unless I create Mechitzot, which I do by extending the Mechitzot of a Daf downwards. It's a very, very different approach to the sugya between Rav Huna and between his son Rabba, who joined up in Rav Chisda against his father's approach. So we were up to Omar Le Rav Nachman on the third of the large lines. Omar Le Rav Nachman Le Rabba Baravua, according to Rav Huna, who claims that it's sufficient to be Motzi Hemena Ziz Koshuhu Memale, he says that all you need to do is to be able to make a hekera, because we don't need to be frightened of taking from a carmelite into the Rishut HaYachid, because the bottom of the sea is where it begins, and therefore on the top of the sea it's always 10 tefachim high. How do you know that it's 10 tefachim high? Zimnin deleka asara, I mean, as a boat is close to shore, people are not going to be mavdil about being Mamale, and Zinedelek Asra v'kam mitaltel mina. Maybe he'll come to be mitaltel mikarmelit to Rishut HaYachid. Why are we relying on a keker stam b'alma? Omar le gamrinan de'in svina mahalechet pepachot mi'asara. A boat requires at least to be able to draw on 10 tefachim in order to be safely afloat. Oh, well, that's all very nice, but I mean, what about the Mursha? Well, Mursha you play. I mean, there's parts of a boat that are not even in contact with the water. I mean, if you take a look at the prow of the boat, I mean, it may be flying above the water and it doesn't really connect at all. So you have, indeed, the keel may be above Asara, but the prow is sitting there maybe all the way up. It may even be extending over the ground from. I mean, such a thing is certainly possible. So why aren't we afraid that somebody will be sitting right there being Mamala Mayim with his little hecker being a joke, because actually there is a real carmelite there. Omri of Safra, because Gishushe Yazle Kama. We're not careless about these things. You always have somebody sounding in front in order to make sure that you don't get too close. It's all very nice to say theoretically you could pull a boat in and still not run aground and have the prow maybe being less than 10 tefachim, but in a place where it's less than 10 tefachim. But it's certainly in a practical sense it isn't done. We always make certain that we know we have sufficient water. No reasonable sailor is going to bring in a Svina in a place where even from the Mokum that he doesn't have to be Choshesh, there should be less than 10 tefachim. It's too risky. And how about according to Rav Chisda and according to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who say that Osema Komar Ba'al Mamale, and therefore they take very seriously the problem over here of my transferring from the Yam to the Sfina. What about the other direction? And I said, we certainly don't keep a septic tank on the boat. I mean, the water's going out of the boat the same way it's coming into the boat. What do they do? How come nobody talks about water coming out of the boat? I mean, what did they do as to the Gemara, Shofchin di Deheche Shadilu? What did they do with the sewerage? V'chitem the Shadilu Ba'otom HaKom. What are you going to say? They use the dock? It's ridiculous. Somebody's going to drink water from a place where they've been pouring out their dirty water. It's unsanitary. It's mos. It doesn't matter that it's the Yam, but there's still a higher concentration of pollutants in that particular area. People are not stupid. No, we're talking about a boat that is sitting there. So, I mean, if this is a real consideration, and according to us, it's not a real consideration. According to us, we're making a hacker. Fine, so when it comes to sewerage, we don't make a hacker. But according to them, you'd have to use the same projected mechitza to get rid of your water. So, therefore, what can you do? Answers the Gemara, the Shari Mu'adaf and the Svina. You pour it out on the edge of the boat, and then it just makes its way down into the ocean, which is rather difficult to do in the other direction. But what about Koko? I mean, even though you didn't pour it directly from Rishut HaYachid into a Carmelite, but you certainly made it in a place where gravity will now pull it down, and that's called Koko. I thought usually utilizing the potential energy in a thing is the same thing as your direct energy. Says the Gemara, it is usually. But Koko the Carmelite lo gazru. Since, after all, the whole idea of a Carmelite as an Isser is only drop on them. They weren't gozer ad kedei kach to speak about the potential energy. They have to do a maisa directly, yes. To cause something to be pulled down by gravity, no. Listen, don't think I'm playing games with you just to get out of the problem. I mean, there's a very good source for this. What makes me say that? It's a brighter, actually, the Tanya. Svina in metaltalin lo metocha l'yam, v'lo min hayam l'tocha. You cannot carry from a svina in either direction. You can't take something out of the svina into the yam just as much as you can take from the yam into it. So far, of course, that proves the opposite of what I'm saying. Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here's the part that's important that I want to bring my proof from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, amuka asara, the in gvoa asara. If you have a boat which in its inside is 10 tefachim deep. So in other words, it's now Rishut HaYachid. But the problem is, it doesn't ride above the water 10 tefachim. So in other words, it's a heavy boat, and it's riding low in the water. Mitzaltelim mitocha l'yam, you could carry from the boat into the yam, meaning you could pour out your sewer water and let it drop into the yam. But you can't carry from the yam into it, because there you'll have to carry directly. Now, I mean, does that make sense? There's only one explanation. What is the reason that we can't carry from the yam into it? Because since it is Rishut HaYachid, you're going to mean metato from a Carmelite into Rishut HaYachid. So, isn't it also true that mitocha l'yam nami? I don't know how you could then do it in the other direction. He's also being mitatel mirshut hayachid lekarmelit. So, what's the difference? Elalav, the only possible explanation is that we're talking about not pouring the dirty water directly from a container into the yam, which in Rachinami would be also. Must be talking about achuda. You put the dirty water on the edge of the side, where it's going to now fall. Therefore, you see clearly that the idea over here is that there's no problem of kocho b'karmelit. Now, it's true that the Rabbanan did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but there's no reason in the world to think that the reason that they disagreed was because they were arguing about the din of kocho. The problem over here might be that they're arguing because they held that you cannot carry from a Carmelite l'Rishut HaYachid derev makom tur. In other words, what happens over here is, note the case. We have amuka asara ve'in gvoa asara. What exactly? It's amuka asara. What would be wrong if it's ein amuka asara, first of all? Well, why would that change? Because it would be a Carmelite. if it's less than Asaran, then you would be allowed to carry from it to the Yam. Okay, why does it have to be now not in Gvoa Asara? Why? Because if it would be Gvoa Asara, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that then there would be no problem in carrying into it. Why? Because I would be carrying from a Carmelite through a Makom Ptur, since it's L'mala Mi'asara. This is an issue that we didn't talk about until now. We never discussed the question of drawing into the boat where the boat itself is 10 Tfachim above the water. We were only talking about with a Carmelite, the top of the Yam is 10 Tfachim above the bottom of the Yam. And that was the question, where does the Carmelite begin? The fact that L'maisa, if I'm on a ship, and I'm bringing up water, it's going to be going into a Makom Ptur. No, once I get above 10 Tfachim from the Yam, according to Kuli Alma, I'm in a Makom Ptur. Even if I start counting from the top. Now, we know that you're not allowed to carry directly from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, derech a Makom Ptur.
Which is the location of the higher than 10 Tfachim?
Yeah, any place in the air above 10 Tfachim. The question is there a problem in the Rabbanan Isser of Carmelite of carrying from a Carmelite through a Makom Ptur? And that's already taking it pretty far, because, I mean, the Makom Ptur is L'chatchila. I can transfer back and forth without any problem. To say I made a Gzeirah to Atki Dekach to turn the Carmelite into a separate Rishut when it's going through a Makom Ptur, Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds that would not be a problem. Therefore, he creates a case in which a problem exists, namely, that it's lamata miyasara. So if I stick something out to draw up water, it's never going to leave the Carmelite, and there I have a problem. The fact that the Rabbanan don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, says Tosfos, may just be on that particular point. They're arguing about this question, would there be a heter to carry through a Makom Ptur from a Carmelite? There's no reason to say that they'd be arguing about the question of whether you're allowed Kocho b'Carmelite. I mean, that was entirely an aside that they had never addressed. Therefore, I say that from here we have a clear indication that I am right in suggesting there was never a Gezerah in Kocho and a Carmelite. And the only problem was drawing up, but not allowing to trickle down. If we could figure a way to trickle up, it would also be okay. Except, of course, there's no Kocho in trickling up. It's always your direct mindset. So that proves it.
So in Shush we're okay today. Shush.
Would not be a problem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's the one who created this case. So therefore, Shemamina, Kocho b'Karmelit, Lo Gazru, Shemamina. Om Rav Huna, I must warn your doctor, that there are rumors of Richie's arrival.
Uh-huh.
And if he walks in, we'll want him to be able to sit back in his place. But there's also rumors that he's quite tired. Meanwhile, it will be a bigger haute kavod when he comes in.
Aaron's gone for a while.
Yes, he's away. But it's fine. I don't know. Like musical chairs. Omer Avuna, Hani Bitzata de Mishan. Now, a bitza, the truth is that a bitza, according to Tosfos, is always a reference to a swamp. The fact that we call small boats a bitzata is because they are not references to normal boats. They're references to swamp boats. No, according to Tosfos, there's a problem in those kind of crafts because people get very tired pedaling with the, the propellers. So the Bitzata, according to Tosfos, is essentially a raft. Well, it's not only that, it's a no-bottom. It's a raft in which the water can actually, be seen through the various logs. This is logs. It makes no difference whether it's turned upside down or whatever. It's always floating. A very simple raft-like affair. Because of that, he has to learn a different shot in this Gemara. Rashi learns that a bitzata is used because of that for any type of tiny type of thing like a kayak or something. So according to this, it would be really a sharply like a canoe type affair or a kayak type. Kayak is also kayak is flat, so it's a canoe type of affair. And what's important to us in discussing a canoe is the fact that you don't have real mechitzot. Because since there's no bottom on the canoe, from where we could, in other words, it comes to a point.
Right.
But the point doesn't have a din of a mechitza, because you need to have four tefachim at one point. And since over here there's no flat area at all, you generally don't cover the bottom of the canoe with a board or anything like that to have an actual space where you have real mechitzot going around. Because of that, this is a non-mechitzot boat. Since it's a non-mechitzot boat, we don't have the din of the Rishut HaYachid in it. And if we have a din of Rishut HaYachid, it doesn't matter how long the boat would be, you could carry as much as you want in it. What we have over here is a Carmelite boat. And a Carmelite boat has a Chumrah inside of it that we'd have to be Machmir on it to be like Rishut HaRabim. I would not be able to be Metato Chutz Miharba Amot. So if a long craft that's designed in this fashion, with a sharp keel without any bottom, I wouldn't be able to carry outside of Arba, it should say, not Arba'ana, because obviously the limitation of the Carmelite is not Arba'a, it's Arba.
So short row.
Huh?
Short rows.
Short rows. Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to pass something from one end to the other end in one of these long, you know, racing type canoes and so on.
In the boat?
Within the boat, because it's a Carmelite. That's the problem. The law
of... Are you not carrying a Carmelite?
You're not allowed to carry outside of Arba Amot in a Carmelite. We're machmir on it to pretend it's like Rishut HaRabim.
In the Carmelite boat.
The boat is a Carmelite.
In the Carmelite
boat.
Yeah, this is a Carmelite. The Carmelite itself is a Carmelite. You know, that's a different question, which... Well, that we'll have to address separately, what if it is of the boat piece of bread. Obviously, we don't look at the boat as a kli, the way we look at the ego as the kli, because it's clear here that hanocha in a boat is the derech hanocha. The question that Rava asked, an ego is on a kli, is clearly not the same as an ego is on a boat. Because the boat is miyaket, an area to itself, which we don't look at as a kli in a different rishos. We can measure anything relative to a space of that sort, not relative to a kli. That's the difference.
So, in the Carmelite itself, are you
No, you're not allowed to carry outside of Arba Amis in the Carmelite. Yes, we're Machmir, Midi Rabbonah, to give it a Chumrah for Rishut HaRabim. Now, Ima Linu Kani B'Urbani, oh, sorry, V'lo Amrin, Ela She'en B'Pachot B'Shlosha Arba'am. This is only, of course, if within three Tvachim, from the bottom of the canoe, because remember, within three Tvachim, it's all looked at as a solid piece for all intents and purposes. If within three tefachim from the bottom of the canoe, you do not have four tefachim between the mechitzot. But if you can measure four tefachim between the mechitzot of the canoe at an area that is up till three tefachim, anywhere up till three tefachim on the bottom of the canoe, that's where the mechitzot starts, because within three of the ground, we could effectively ignore anything underneath it. And therefore, you would have normal mechitzot. It's just that they start a little above what your eye is picking out. They start where the halakha picks it up, which is within three tefachim. V'imalinu kani v'urvani, and for that matter, if you physically fill up the bottom of the canoe so that the area in which the mechitzot start is an area for tefachim, why? Because you filled it up with reeds or something, whatever. It's not even important. But the idea is you start the boat there. And obviously, if you build a floor, I mean, it's a little ridiculous to build a floor I could do, but the same idea. So then you can lift it up artificially, so to speak, so that your canoe begins at some arbitrary point to which you lifted it, and there you have four tefachim between the mechitzot, and now you've got a real Rishut HaYachid, and you can pass the oars as long as you want all the way through it, assuming that such a thing would be mutter. Obviously, we have our gezeiras about osek lishayit and things like that, but you could carry with it.
How far up do the mechitzas extend?
10 tefachim from the point at which they are four. They need 10 tefachim from the point at which there's a distance of four between them in order to be called.
About 10 on each side.
Height, yeah. And height on a width of four.
So they're four, but what happens outside that four width?
Outside the mechitzot or in the mechitzot?
Well, you have a boat like this, right?
That's fine.
And your ears are
looking. That's fine, that's fine. As far as they extend out.
Oh, okay.
Anywhere within the mechitzot, that's fine. Makiflorum Nachman. What is all of this business? Why is that true? Why can't we take an imaginary ring? Let's imagine just the top of the mechitza. Ignore the other stuff that you're saying is coming in and there's no room of arba tefachim. This is earth calling. So let's take that imaginary ring, we take the top of the canoe, ignore everything else, and say, Godachik mechitzata, drag that mechitza down to create a halachic mechitza that's following you around, a virtual mechitza outside of your canoe that has turned the canoe into a reshut hayachid. Doesn't that serve us well in the past? I mean, how about Milo Tanya? How about the famous case we've had so many times? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Na'atz Kana Bereshut Rabim Ubereshut Traskal. We had our favorite basketball case. The Zorak V'Nach Al Gabav. You went ahead, and it landed on the top of the basket. You're chayev. When you threw it from Bereshut Rabim, how could you be chayev? There's no mechitza. Because the little circle at the top of the basket became a mechitza. So why is the little circle at the top of the canoe any different than that circle? Why can't we say the same thing over here, in which case we really don't care about the fact that the canoe comes down to a sharp end. We ignore that part of the canoe. Matkifar of Yosef. Now, you have a good question, all right? Tell me what you think. I mean, do you not know? Everybody knows that it was either Reb Chiya or Reb Yudah Merab quoted a braita on this, that this is actually not to be relied upon, because v'chachomim omrim, Tanya la braita said, v'chachomim potrim, that the chachomim said that indeed a traskal is not really a reshut hayachid. So, Amalei Abaye, what do you mean it's not really a Reshut HaYachid? Of course it's a Reshut HaYachid. Apo Tizbra, V'atanya Amud B'Reshut HaRabim, Goboa Asara V'Rachav Arba'a, V'Ein B'Ikaro Arba'a. Let me ask you something, says Abaye. If you don't understand the difference between the case here and there, you're going to run into some serious trouble. Because of course there is such a thing. Here, let me give you an example of such a thing. We've got a column in Reshut HaRabim, it's 10 tvachim high, it's 4 tvachim wide, but it's a column that is a little bit on an edge, and so that it's extended upward in a mushroom shape. And now at the bottom of the column, it's missing a full arba tvachim. But at the top of the column, it's got arba tvachim at the height of 10. Now, it says over there that if you're Zorik V'Nach Al Gabav, you're chayev, according to everybody. Forget about this Rabbanan over here. Okay? I want you to see that you yourself are going to have to make some type of discrimination here that you haven't made yet. I'm going to push you into it. So you see Amrinan, good achit mechitzata. So don't you have to ask yourself, so why by traska? I mean, achinami, good achit mechitzata. Why is it that we don't say here too, God achid, or in the Bitsa de Mishan. I'll tell you why. Because mide ayre, this is what you're going to respond. This is how Rashi understands it. That all of this is part of what Abaye is saying. And even though it appears to be a give and take, it's part of Abaye's proof to Rabbi Yosef that he has not thought this out till the end. He's saying, Ella, now you're going to be going through these steps in your mind. And you're going to have to say that mide ayre, is this supposed to prove anything you'll say to yourself? Obviously, hata mavi la mechitza shagdiim bokimba, and hacha havi la mechitza sheina gdiim bokimba. The difference is that in the case of the traskal, or in any case in which the mechitza is basically hanging in midair, you could say all you want that there's a virtual mechitza here. The problem with virtual things is that real things have a tendency to walk right on over them, and here. Guess what? You're looking at this mechitza, and you're admiring this beautiful mechitza, and up walks a little goat, and walks right through it. And you say to yourself, what? How did that happen? And there goes your whole virtual mechitza. But when it comes to the case, and that's a traskal, because the goat couldn't care less about the laser-expressed mechitza underneath, it just walks across it. But how about the case over here where All you have to do is extend the top of a column down so that it covers over the few inches that were missing in the equivalent space on the bottom where it was coming down on a diagonal. No goat's going to walk over there to squeeze along the edge just to prove to you that you should ignore your virtual machizah. So we've got a real problem over here. When I say real, I mean real. It's purely a function of reality. That's all. Wherever reality intrudes onto the halakhic imagination, there's no way that we could take it seriously. If a gedi is going to walk through your supposed force field, we're going to have to ignore your force. But in the case of the column, why should I ignore my force field? Take a look. Every gedi avoids it like the plague. Of course, the gedi has no idea that that's why he's avoiding it. He thought he just didn't want to scrape his shoulder. But the bottom line is, he'll never walk through it. So the same thing is true in the area of the beats and the mishan. Because that my problem will be, and that's really the problem will be over there, that there's no kids that are going to be walking through the extended bottom of my canoe, so I should have the same issue over there. There's no kids there. What do you mean there's no kids? There's fish. I mean, how about the fact that the fish don't seem to respect your virtual wall? Right? So why don't we say, Ika bikiyat dagim? Amarlei bikiyat dagim lo shmei bikiyat. Fish don't count. The reason that fish don't count, says Rashi, is because I don't see them. Since the whole idea is the violation of the virtual nature of this wall by the fact that I can't maintain my imagination against reality, as long as I can live in the world without seeing, so there's no problem. Since nobody notices the Dagim, and of course this is fundamental, the whole relationship of the Torah to Dagim, right? That's the whole point. So the halakha does not have to take into consideration b'kiyat agdim. Mashenke, when it comes to the question of the b'kiyat agdim, you'd have to take it into consideration. Uminot temra. How do I know to make that kind of distinction? Because we know the boimei Rabbi Tavla Mirabi lechitzat luya mao shetatir bechurva. He wanted to know, generally, you have in a churva very often, as well we know right here, areas in which there remains an arch, and underneath it the wall fell down. Is that considered to be a wall because we continue the good achit mechitzata, or is that not a mechitza? The Omar Lake and Rovin told Tavla, in mechitza teluya materet, that we do not accept hanging mechitzot, in which you could simply walk through them and claim that they're skilled, except in one case, and that's ma'im. The famous heter of a mechitzat tluya b'ma'im is in Venice, where you have over there porches that are hanging out above the water, and the Gemara in Erevin discusses in all such cases there's no problem of actually drawing up from an area where there's not tenzan yam, it's just a shallow channel, or even if you have a convenience bore, which was done in a chotzer, you build a cistern, in which the second story people would have access to the bore with a little pulley system, so they have porches that extend over the bore. Even though normally that would be considered to be problematic, and certainly if it's owned by two separate people, there's problems of Erevin and so on and so forth, over here, your mechitza is seen as extending into the water, the edge of your porch. And it's very commonly used throughout Erevin, this heter. Why is this? Because kalushi kilu chachamim b'mayim. The chachamim said there's something different about a hanging mechitza over water than there is about a hanging mechitza in a churva. Now, why were they made them? About my ha'ika b'kiyat dagim. I'll tell you why they were made them. Halashmamina b'kiyat dagim. Loshmei b'kiyat. That's the point. I'm not just saying this off the top of my head. There's a well-established halacha that there's a difference in b'chitzot tluyot. So that means that clearly we have to take that into consideration when we're talking about the canoe issue as well. Anything that has to do with the beats of the mishnah.
Hanging b'chitzot. Something's hanging on a string of
above? Is that a hanging mechitza?
No, hanging mechitza means that you have like a porch. You have a porch. You make a hole in the bottom of your porch in order to be able to pull up.
It's not over, not over the edge, just wherever.
No, no, it's all over the edge won't help. You're outside of your mechitza. Yeah.
What is the hanging mechitza of
the edges of your porch? The Gemara talks about cases where you actually just create, you build a little box around your window so that you could then extend and pull up your bucket over the window if the water comes up close enough to the wall. In a cistern, of course, that could easily happen. So I'm sure you'd be allowed to carry on. Okay. So you see that I'm right. So you can't just, you can't dismiss, you turn around, Rav Yosef, you know, you dismiss the question about a mechitza tzvuya because you said, well, not everybody agrees with Traskel, we're following the Chachamim. What does Traskel have to do with it? In a Traskel, you got a little tiny pole in which it doesn't prevent anything from walking under the pole. The only time we would say there would be over water. Aha, uh-huh. This is over water, there you go. So it was a very good question that was asked, don't dismiss it. Svinot Kshurot. Now the next case we had in the Mishnah was if you have two ships and you've tied them together, you're allowed to carry from one ship to the next. I mean, I said, why not? She said, well, why would I not be allowed to carry? On my Rava, no, it means you're allowed to carry with a motorboat that runs between the two ships. They're tied together, but you can't walk over them. I mean, they may be 50 feet away from each other. So the way in which you transfer one to the other is with a little rowboat, really, right? So you're allowed to do that, too. Why? Because the area now between the boats becomes all part of the reshus of the boats, and I can simply go from one to the other. I'm a leader of Safra. Excuse me, Meisha. Of course, his name was Rav, not Meisha. But every Talmud Chacham that you want to give kavod to in his generation, you call him the generation's Meisha. But it's funny that the only time we say this is when he's wrong. I'm sure the Meisha. That's the chant. So Rav Safra said to Meisha, Shapik Amrit, but yeah, this is a good pshat. You see, especially you, Rav, of all people, you're the one who always complains that it's against the actual literal words. Yeah. Over here, all of a sudden, you've put a boat in between the ship. Oh, man. I mean, what does it say? Metatele mizulazu, from one to the other. From one to the other means with a little boat in between. I don't believe it. Elam Rav Sav, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The pshat is that these ships are owned by different companies. And you got a problem of Erevin. And the Kiddush of the Mishnah is that you can make an Erev between two boats despite the fact that you would think, I mean, an Erev, the whole point of an Erev is that it's a Kviut. So we're pretending that we live together. By definition, a boat's not a Kviut. The whole setting of the boat is an indication that we're off to see the wild blue yonder over here. Kamash malani, so it's not cheetah. Kamash malani in terms of dine eruvin, metatlim zumizu. That's the point, not the actual carrying itself. Tosis actually learns that it could be we knew up front that it was a dine eruvin, and that anyway we were asking cheetah, and that this wasn't the chiddush. And that the chiddush actually was that even if they get torn apart and reconnected, that you could still maintain the Erev, which we're about to see. Even though that's true lagavi Shabbos in general, if something happens, let's say a mechitza falls down or something like that, the restoration of the mechitza on Shabbat restores the Erev. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even need to restore the Erev. Because when it comes to Shabbos, the Erev defines things as they are, b'shas, the knisa of Shabbat. The only time it needs to restore an Erev is where you lost the mechitza and therefore lost the reshus of adding Erev. Tosis makes that not. If you lose the reshus, then it's pshita that you can't, you're not going to be able to say that, well, it was okay to carry your ben hashmashas, why can't I just keep carrying? No. This is a mechitza.
You can put back
mechitza
and recreate it.
You can recreate a mechitza. And that's the chiddush. And therefore, Rav Safra brings the brayta. This is the way Tosfos, the Ri, understands it as a possibility. Kidetanya Sminok Shrodzu Bazuma Arvinu Metatlim Zulazu. This so far is sufficient to address the simple way of learning the Gemara. That originally we thought the problem was only Tiltal, not Erevin. There were two boats owned by Sim. And now we come along and we say, no, it's talking about two different companies, therefore you need an Eruv. And period. Continues the Braita. According to Tosfos, the continues the Braita may be exactly what the Chiddush was. Namely, Nifsiku, if they became disconnected on Shabbat, Ne'esru, at the time of the disconnection, they're not allowed to carry any longer. But Chazru v'nikshru, if they ended up being reconnected on Shabbos, whether that was done b'shogeg, people forgot it was Shabbos, they didn't know it was Otzer, or whether it was even done b'mezid, or maybe anusin, or mut'in, they weren't even attempting to do it, they were trying to do something else, the rope got caught, they ended up connecting each other, whatever the case is, bottom line is they're connected. They become mutter the way they were before. And by the way, the same thing is true if you've got a camp. You're camping out, and what you do is you spread machatzalot between, let's say, the boys and the girls. You want to sniut. So you spread these mats, hanging mats. Now, those hanging mats are a fine mechitza. The problem is that each area is defined according to the people that live in it. You would need an eruv.
Are these boats, is there no space between them? What when they tie together?
No, there's space between them. Paul Raya Rava said you need a rowboat to get between them.
So what do they tie together?
A cable.
Yeah. A cable.
So why not when they tie together or not if there's space in between?
Because that makes it as if it's all one building. The space in between is viewed as an atrium. That's why you can carry through the rowboat. Chiddush of Rav is you're not afraid that the rowboat will move into the actual water, not between the boats, and then you'll end up being metalto really from the yam directly.
But the rowboat is the rowboat itself. Is that that's a shuta yachid or what is the rowboat?
It depends, as we saw. It depends on how deep it is. We've just been through this circuit. It depends on the shape of the boat. But the point is, as long as it stays between the other two boats, it's just basically a boat in your living room. That's all. We look at it like a chair. Welcome, welcome, Sir Richard, our conquering hero.
The captain has returned.
Just talking boats.
Well, sure, you just wanted to come in to make us happy.
Are we still in this one?
Rebbe mind you that she can't get out of the
blood. No, not at all. I think that's a great idea. What? That you should do the bath for us.
You can you can wake me up.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
All right, so we're holding now on that Kuf Aleph Amud Beit. Kuf Aleph Amud Beit. And we're talking about Machatzalot. We spread out these hanging mats between various people that are in a camping site.
Over like a clothesline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now each one of those areas defined by the mats becomes a separate reshus for the people that are in it. You'd have to make an error between the people in the mat area A and mat area B.
What was enough for me to read before?
What's that?
Missed enough for me to read before? I don't know
what you're referring to. So, Nigalalu, but if the mats are rolled back up again, then there's room. Now you've ruined the Rishut HaYachid, and you're no longer able to be Metalto. But Chazubini for sure, if somebody hangs the mat again, on Shabbos, whether this was done b'shogeg, b'mezid, b'onus, mut'ah, they weren't even trying to do whatever, doesn't matter. The klal being shekol mechitza shenaasa b'shabbat bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid shmo mechitza. A mechitza can be made on Shabbos even if it's also to do so. Doesn't change the fact.
Yes, does that have to come with this free smart?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, yeah.
Doesn't have to be a
No. That's in order to be mutter. We're not talking about in order to be mutter. Somebody did it baser. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point. We don't really care about how it got here. We just care about the fact that it is here. Is this even though it's us? I've Amr Reb Nachman Loshon Elad Israel. Didn't Reb Nachman say, "Now wait"? That's only lachumra. That if you throw from the Rishut Rabim into these mechitzot, you'd be chayit. But you certainly can't rely on it to be metaltel and to say it's a Rishut Hayachid. Metaltel is asur. No, the Reb Nachman was only talking about if you did it b'mezid. If you did it b'mezid, then we give you a knas. You're not going to be allowed to be metaltel. All you could do is turn it into Rishut Hayachid l'chumra. So now, if before you weren't going to burn for carrying it in from the outside to the inside, now you will. That's your knas. But you don't get the rights to carry around inside of it. He's only talking about the mezid part. And the other things that we said, chozru l'teirah harishon, was referring to chozru l'teirah harishon b'shogeg, and so on and so forth. And it's even true, chozru l'teirah harishon, meaning midoraita, the area inside the mats, it's chozru l'teirah harishon, meaning it becomes reshut hayachid. You're right. L'maisa, we give you a knas that you can't use it. It's ma'omar Shmuel. These boats that are connected together, I don't care if they're even kshirot b'chuta sarbal. I don't care if you connected them together using basting threads. That's fine. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Hechidani. I mean, idiyakolamidan. Did you use enough thread that it created a cable strong enough to hold the boats? What do I care what it's made out of? So then, pshita. Vidayinyakolamidan. If you're trying to say, even if you just did a formal tying, what kind of crazy halach is that? I might. What's the word? There's no such thing as formally tying. Either they're connected or they're not connected. Le'olam de'acholamidan. The case is that the threads indeed were strong enough to hold these boats together. So then what's the point? Ah, Shmuel was trying to tell you that you should not confuse the two sugyot. There's another sugya that uses the same wording. Benogea tuma v'tara, and there you would not be able to read chuta sarbal. It would have to be a metal chain, and that is since Shmuel himself was the one who said that he wanted to make it clear lafuke minenaf sheka'ati, to make it clear that his own statement in a different context didn't apply to this context. What was that context? It's not kashra b'davar hama'amida. Maybe la tuma. If you tied up a boat with something that could hold the boat, it would bring a tuma. Bidavar she'ein ma'amida, ein mevi'a la tuma. Mashenken. If it's tied up with something that would not hold the boat, then it doesn't bring tuma. Explain Shmuel on that. It has nothing to do with whether the boat was held in place. Davar ha'ma'amida means something that would normally be used to hold the boat in place. It refers to the type of material. It does not refer to the strength of the material. And therefore, when it's referring to holding a boat in place, it is referring, as Richie well knows, to shalshelet shel barzel. It's got to be a chain. If it's not a chain made out of metal, then this halacha doesn't apply. Why? Says Rashi. What's the difference if something is made out of a chain or metal or it's made out of nylon? A very big difference. Because if it's a chain of metal, the reference over there was to the dinim of Ohalot. And if this chain is now tied up to a boathouse in which there's a body, let's say Elizabeth or something like that. So in which there's a body. So now the chain becomes, because it's metal, and we learn out from the pasuk, the halal cherev, that cherev areyu kachalal, a metal cleave, gets a din of avi avot atumah, which is wild. So now it's avi avot atumah. The boat connected to this chain, referring to a boat that's makabel tumah, like the Sfinat HaYarden we had earlier, which is loaded and then lowered into the water, remember? That was the explanation. Mishnah Sfinat HaYarden is makabel tumah. The boat will now be makabel tumah, will become an avot tumah. But that means that all of the things inside of the boat, even kalim, will be makabel tumah from the avot tumah, which is the boat. Therefore, said Shmuel, it's got to be talking about something metal. But if it would be nylon, forget about whether they're going to hold the boat, because that's irrelevant. When we're talking about hold the boat, we mean a normal holding the boat thing, which is metal. But if it's not made out of metal, it cannot transfer tumah with the din of halal cheret. In which case, the most that could happen is the boat would be a rishon. Nothing in the boat would become tummy. Says Tosfos, this is ridiculous. Rashi throws all of this together because he was confused by the words shalshalot shel barzel. So he thinks to himself, Rashi, says Tosfos, he thinks to himself, gosh, what difference does it make if it's metal or not metal? I mean, obviously, the only possible difference is in terms of this special halakha of halal keret. But what Rashi forgets, says Tosfos, is that shel barzel is always used as a metaphor. The iron curtain. Does that mean it's an actual iron curtain? The iron curtain is a Gemara. Bechitza shel barzel. Tzon barzel. Is tzon barzel sheep made out of metal? They're robotic sheep? Tzon barzel means something that's not going to get ruined because you're financially responsible. Metal doesn't mean literally metal. Whatever. He just got confused. It's a metaphor. And of course, because otherwise, I mean, think to yourself, the two sugyas have absolutely nothing in common. The word ma'amidah in that sugya, according to Rashi, in the Tuma sugya, means the standard type of cable. It has nothing to do with its strength. In our sugya, it's entirely a function of strength. So the two sugyas are completely unrelated. Furthermore, to talk about basting threads, the whole of, I mean, the whole thing is just wild. What does he think he's talking about? Therefore, this does, of course, that's not the explanation over here, but one is an Olam Meit, and so on and so forth. You have to look into the actual sugya. The actual sugya over there is talking about the question of whether there is a mate beneath a boat. Take a look, that was the whole sugya before. There's a mate, there's a body beneath the boat, from one side of the boat. And the question over here is whether that's maybe Tuma through the boat onto the other side. Is it considered to be an oil, the boat? Or because it's movable, it has the same thing as an oil zaruk, and it's not considered, and that was what the sugya was talking about. I'm not making that up, sisters. That's the sugya. When Shmuel was talking over there about shalshalot shel barzel, all he meant was you need it to be in one place so that it shouldn't be an oil that's nayad, which is why it does have everything to do with our sugya, because kshurot also means kshurot. Comes on Shmuel to say, don't compare the two sugyas. That's all. If you just want to define this as a reshut echad, it doesn't have to be that it can't move, and again, it's not the point. You don't need shalshalot shel barzel to be yotze our sugya. But in that sugya, you need shalshalot shel barzel, meaning not metal, meaning nice, good nylon table, but whatever. Something that'll stay there just as if it were barzel. We finally caught up. Yeah. Must be Beschut Richie.
Go ahead.
Captain, we thank you. Okay, we're holding on that from the base. Let's do from the Mishnah. Hazarik min hayam leyabashar min hayabashar leyam min hayam lesfinah min lesfinah leyam min lesfinah lechaber tapatur. Sifinot ha-kshurot zo bezo metatulim mizo lezo. Iminan kshurot af apishu mukafot in metatulim mizo lezo. Itma. Svina Ravunam Ramatina min aziz koshu mamalek. Rav Chista v'rabba bar Ravunam Ramatina makom arba'ah mamalek. Ravunam Ramatina min aziz koshu mamalek. The reasoning is, gasavar karmanit miyara mashkina. Therefore the avir is a makom tur. Ubedinut is his nami loliboy. Whereas Rav Chista Rabba bar Ravunam Osema kol marba. Ah, why is that? Kasavri karmeli misvat maya mashkinale. Maya is arasamichta. V'ilo avid moka marba. Ah, kometatul mikarmeli kurshut ayachim. Omele Rav Nachman le Rabba bar Avua ul Ravuna damri mochi menes is koshu mamale. Zinu deleka asrava kometatul mikarmeli kurshut ayachim. Omele gamrinam de'in svinam malechet papachot mi asra. Well, what about the Mursha? Omrefot agishu she has the kama. How about the shofim today? That's crazy. You can't draw water from a place where you dumped your dirty water. The shadilu adapted the svina. Aye, it should be kocho and should be asa. Kocho the karmelit lo gazlu. The time svina in metatamin lo mitochal yam. Rabbi Yudomer, עמוקה עשרה ואין גבוהה עשרה מטלטלין מתוך הלים, אבל לא מן הים לתוכה, מה יש לה מן הים לתוכה דולו? וכמטלט ומקרמל הוא שתייך אין, so also מתוך הלים נמי, כמטלט ושתייך את הקרמלי. אלא לב, it's got to be a reference to חודה, which proves my contention that שמה מן הכוחו בקרמלית לא גזרו שמה מן. אום רבונה, אני מצאת את המישה, אין מטלטלין בין אלה בארבע עמות, ולא אמר לה שאין בפחות משלושה ארבעה, אבל יש בפחות משלושה ארבעה, לפעם בה. ואם עלינו כאן יבואו אם אני לפעם. מה את כאילו רנחו, אבל אם הגודה הכי מקיצתה, מי לא תעניה רגש ורבירה, מנה את כאן פשוט רבים, ובראשות רסקל, וזורק ונח על גביו חייו, אמר מן המגודה הכי מקיצתה, והכי נעמי, נעמי הגודה הכי מקיצתה. מה את כאילו רגש ולשמיע לו, אבל אם רבירה מרנחו, מה את כאן שהוא יחיע, וטוני עלו, וכך עמים פותרים, what kind of answer is that? Atla Tizbra. Hatanya Mudra Shudra Binda Vasra Kavarba. Vindi Kararba. Yesh the Kutzer Shalor Shosha. Vizorak Menokal Gabav Chayav. Why? Could only be because we say Gurachit Mechitzata. It's the same thing should be true by the Svinach. You know, I'm a Gurachit Mechitzata. So you're going to say now, Midi Ire. Hatana Vil Mechitzah Shagidim Bokimba. Hagavot Mechitzah Shem Bokim. And that's exactly the point. Omalei Ravaka, Breda Ravaka, Ravashi. Wait, by a Svina there's also Gdim. It's those water Gdim we call fish. Omalei Bikiyat Bagim. Lav Shmei Bikiyat. Uminat Temra. It's interesting. Same letters. Bagim and Gdim, you know. But we don't count them. The boy mine Rabbi Tadla mi Rabbi, Mechitzat Tvuya, Maushi Atipa Churva. Yomalei Ein Mechitzat Tvuya, Materet Elabamai. Why? Kamu shikil b'mayim b'mayim. Ha'ika b'kiyat agim. Clearly, shba min ha'b'kiyat agim lav shma b'kiyat. Svinok shrot zim zim pshita. Omer rabba lo nitzcha v'atir b'tzit shibiniyem. Omer lev safra ma'eshe. Shabri kamre. Metata yim izu l'zutzna. El omer rab safra lo nitzcha elo la'arev u l'tatel mizu l'zu. Uki netanya svinot kishrot zu b'zu me'arvinu metatelim mizu l'zu. Nitzeku nesru. חזרו ונקשרו בין שרגגין, בין מזידין, בין הנסין, בין מוטעין, חזרו ליתרן הראשון, וכן מחצל את הפרוסות מערבים ומטלתם מזו לזו. בת נגללו נצרו, חזרו ונפרשו בין שרגגין, בין מזידין, בין הנסין, בין מוטעין, חזרו ליתרן הראשון, שכל מחיצה שנעשה בשבת בין בשרגג בין מזיד, שמע מחיצה, איני, ואומרים נחו לשון אלו לזרוק, אבל לטלטל אסור, כי יתמר דרם נחמן המסיד יתמר. אומר שמול אפילו קשורות בחוט הסרבה. מה, היחידה לי, אמין. אידי אוכל העמידן, why not? אידי אין אוכל העמידן, then why yes? ליאולם די אוכל העמידן. ושמול אפוק כבן הנאב שקעתי, תצד. כאשר בדבר המעמידה מביא לה תומה. בדבר שאין מעמידה אין מביא לה תומה. ומה שמול? והוא שקשורה בשרשלת של ברזל. So this is coming to tell me that Dav Kalinyin Tumahu Dikti Bakalal Kherav Kherav Arayu Kekhalal. Yes, Kalinyin Shabbat Kima Diyokul Amida Hafilu Bekut HaSarva. Okay, obviously it doesn't have that here.
Which one?
Kherav Arayu Kekhalal. Shabbat stuck that in.